Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10. Deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done great things. 22 to Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is up? Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Off the Bench. Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell chilling out here, having it ready for the weekend, man.
Are my elbows ashy?
No,
it looked like it in the camera.
No, you got some lotion covered there.
All right.
No, I think you're all right.
I tried to get them, but they were quick this morning. I didn't know.
We'll have to get like a spare bottle of
it.
You can't come on TV looking ashy.
Can't be ashy on
No, you can't have that. I remember the first time, like, because I grew up in a predominantly white area, right? When I went to college at Florida State, I would hear guys just trashing each other about it.
Yeah.
Like, man, you look ashy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And then I finally, like, figured it out, which is a good thing.
Yeah. But, white folks can be ashy too.
They can. You just don't see it as
You don't
much.
See it as well, right? Correct.
So, yeah.
Right.
So you don't have to rip on each other about it. We got a huge show. We're going to break down all the college football action from the weekend. We're going to give you our playoff picks. Can't wait to give those.
No.
We're going to preview a little bit of the quarterback talk, but I have to go off on a little bit of a rant because I saw something last night in college football that I think we're going to see a lot early in this football season, and I cannot stand it.
Yeah.
So we had Northwestern against Purdue. Good game. Northwestern won 31-27. Fun game. A lot of offense. Clayton Thorson, quarterback for Northwestern, comes off a big injury from last season. There's a lot of concern. Is he going to play? Pat Fitzgerald was very coy about it. You don't know. Then you find out good news before the game. He's going to play. So he comes out there, marches down the field. First drive, touchdown.
Boom.
Second drive, touchdown.
Boom.
Third drive, they start sputtering. Couple penalties. And I noticed something. I'm like, wait a second. He's not in the game anymore. And they went with another quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, well, why'd you take him out? And they have TJ Green, son of Trent Green, in there.
Okay.
And I'm watching this. I'm thinking, well, what is going on? And so you come to find out this was a pre-planned thing from Northwestern. If it's a medical issue, which is what they said, Pat Fitzgerald, after the game, they said the medical plan was to limit his reps so that he wasn't so much exposure, and they wanted to try to...
He shouldn't be out there.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Because TJ Green is going to, like, he's a walk-on guy who's been there for a while. There was clearly a drop-off there, but I'm with you. If there is a problem where you're worried about how many reps he can be out there, then don't play him.
No, not in this sport, like football.
Right.
You're talking about a pitch count, like in baseball, and
right.
You want to throw
this
like...
This is a different
this
sport.
Is a different animal.
A whole
right.
different one. But I think you're going to see a trend of a lot of guys, medical reasons aside, that coaches roll in quarterbacks, and it is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest position to play, because when I'm watching it, then I watch Clayton Thorson... All of a sudden having to re-warm up.
Mm-hmm.
He's over there trying to warm up again. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, he's got to warm up again. If he had played every series, he wouldn't have that problem. So you're
right.
Presenting a bigger risk, I think, when he's over there getting cold between every series.
I didn't play quarterback. I'm not professing to be a quarterback guru, but I do like
from an athlete perspective,
their confidence is like we've talked about what percentage that is of the game. It's a huge part of the game. When you've always got a guy now, there would be a school of thought that like, competition breeds success, right? And so having to look over your shoulder and wonder if that guy's going to come in the game will prompt you to be the best you that you can be. There's some guys that don't work under those circumstances, right?
Right.
And so, you know, being nervous to screw up because you know you've got a very short leash can be very like handcuffing at times too. And I think that teams need to rally around their guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I think
yeah,
that absolutely. A guy has to know that the team is rallied around him.
Right.
And you get the best out of everybody under those circumstances. So I don't love the two quarterback thing either.
So Kyler Murray is not going to wonder about looking over his shoulder. He's been named the starter by Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. They play FAU, should be a good one. There's coaches I wonder, cause I've been in competitions where it's been really tight.
Right.
And you've had two good guys and it's really hard to choose. I think even in those situations, you kind of know, and you just have to roll with it. And then if you give them two or three games and it's sputtering and it's not working, then maybe you go back to the other guy because then there's clearly maybe you made a mistake.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with admitting that, but playing them both at the same time, which I think we're going to see Alabama do because I think you're going to be both Tua and Jalen Hurts against Louisville. And I think you're going to see it more now this year so than ever because of the new redshirt rule.
Right.
Because now you can play four games as a freshman, and you can still redshirt. So coaches in these first four games, you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks playing,
yep.
And then they're going to get shut down once they figure out who their guy is.
I think it's a cop out. You're the boss, bro. You make the decisions. That's why they pay you the big money. Like, make a call on that. I also think to some degree, these guys go into places and they promise. Like, you know, I always ask the question, how do you get Like, how do you get 4 or 5-star quarterbacks to decide to come to your college within a 2-year span? It doesn't seem right. Well, you promised everybody that they're going to get to play.
Right.
And so now you got to live up to some of the promise, or you can't go out and recruit like you did. So, there are messes made at that quarterback position all the time. And I just don't love it. And I have a, look, I have a son. We talk about him, Dia, he's 11. And he's played quarterback for the last 5 years, and he started for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And every year except this year, he came in and they put him in a quarterback competition. And I've always embraced it. Like, I'm like, look, dude, hey, look, Steel Starpin Steel, he's got to take his little butt out there and he's got to win that job, right? Yep. Even though he's the dude and he's had good seasons with them and whatever. But this year I said to his coaches, I was like, why don't you, look, you already know, right, what he's going to do. Why don't you see how he reacts if you don't put him in a competition? If you just tell him from the first day, you're the dude, lead the team.
Right.
All right. And so the jury's out because they're early in the season, but I did want to see psychologically what that did for the kid if he had a little bit less pressure and could say, hey, this is my team. I own it this time. Guys, let's go, you
right.
know?
And so the team can start looking to him every time and know that he's their guy.
Right.
Cause as a quarterback, you do have to lead the team, not only on the field, but you do have to lead by your actions in practice and workouts and every other area, because it's the position that people look to. It's
right.
an extension of the coaching staff. excuse me. Kyler Murray beat out Austin Kendall. He's got monster shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And I feel for him because I've been there. So he's got to replace Baker Mayfield, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of college football.
Right.
Like, he's top 10 all time. Won the Heisman, number one overall pick, took him to the playoff. No matter what Kyler Murray does, I don't think he can really impress the fan base, which really, aside from winning a national championship, which maybe he will.
Right.
But it's just almost an unwinnable spot. Cause when I was at Florida State, Charlie Ward, my sophomore year, won the national championship.
Sure.
So he had set the bar even higher because he won the national championship. First one for Bobby Bowden.
Right.
Won the Heisman Trophy. And then it was like, all right, here's your turn. And I played okay. I mean, I did all right. I had a pretty decent year. But it wasn't going to come close to appeasing the fan base unless we won a national championship. And as I've said on here a lot, it's hard to repeat.
Yeah, no, totally. It's an impossible. And Charlie, I mean, yeah, dude, that was a tough spot for you to come in. That was tough. I don't envy that.
It was. I was totally green. And so my second year starting, 95, we actually broke every offensive record that Charlie Ward put up in his Heisman winning season, but we didn't win the national championship. So it kind of just got overlooked, which was fine. Like, that's the standard you set at programs like this.
You're a different style of quarterback, yes. though, right?
Because, yeah. like, clearly.
Charlie.
He's running Charlie, this photo. And
yeah,
I'm
you had like a negative 127 rush yard in that.
Oh, now who put that up there? Was that Mikey or Debo? Come on. One of these dudes building these graphics just totally threw me under the bus right there.
I could make the case, though. First of all, he's got an escape clause, which is the national championship that you didn't have.
Right. Right?
He's got that if he could figure it out. And by most accounts, like, Oklahoma's still got a pretty dang good team. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you know, he's not Baker, but he too is a different style of quarterback, and maybe what he can do with his legs mm-hmm. will kind of counter some of the Baker, you know, kind of the Baker hangover, because that's really exciting too. Like, that's something that they haven't really seen there. I mean, he's got a cannon. He's a baseball dude, but right. he can also, like, he's might be one of the fastest guys on that team. Like, he's kind of electrifying when he gets, you know, around the edges and stuff like that. So maybe just the excitement factor will help
him. I think
him.
What could be interesting, because there was a time in my junior, my first year starting, when we put up those stats for, when fans were grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
It was specifically, there was the choke at Duke, which was my biggest game. We were down 31-3, and I remember walking at halftime, and fans were chanting the backup's name. They wanted him in.
Who was he?
Thad Busby. So they were like saying, we want Busby.
That.
And
yeah.
I was like, I heard it going in. And I was ticked at our fans. I'm like, yeah. you guys are selling me out like this? And I think if I wouldn't have had that comeback, and I would have thought about quitting and transferring.
Right.
And I wonder, maybe I would have gone and played baseball. For real, like real talk. Kyler Murray has $6 million in his pocket. He can go somewhere else if it doesn't work out. So you wonder, like, how, and I think he'll be invested. Obviously, he said it's a big goal of his. He wants to be a stud quarterback. But he does have a pretty nice fallback option if it doesn't work.
After you came back, relieved that you came back, or F you to all the fans for like
a little bit of both.
How much? Yeah, right?
A little bit of both. Cause there was absolutely, I remember coming out and meeting my family after the game. They were waiting outside the stadium, and all these fans, and most of them were players' families that we came out with, and they yeah. were all like, great game, great job. And I remember going to dinner that night and being like, that wasn't very fun in the first half. And
yeah.
That was a blast in the second half. And it always, I think every player has that in the back of their mind.
Sure.
You just remember kind of what fans are all about. And there's a bittersweet kind of feeling. And you always just kind of have to take the praise with a grain of salt, knowing that These are the same fans that could turn on you if you have a rough outing. It's just it's a reality of fans. It is. So Kyler Murray, heavy favorites Oklahoma are to win the Big 12, 6-5 favorites. I think there's a really good chance they do that. So it'll be fun to watch his season unfold. Speaking of running stats, we saw my just illustrious rushing history out there.
Prolific.
What was it? -127. Chip Kelly has named his starting quarterback, one Wilton Spate, formerly of Michigan,
right,
who was, I thought I was a statue in the pocket. He is way more a statue in the pocket than I was. Named him the starter for his offense out at UCLA. He has -199 career rushing yards when he was at Michigan.
Like negative.
Yes, yes. I thought it was interesting. I think it could be a result of the lack of real options out there. He beat out a true freshman.
He looks like a pediatrician.
Oh, come on. Come on, my boy.
Everybody look at him, right?
I met him. The Michigan played Florida State at the Orange Bowl. I went out some after party, you know, at the Fountain Blue in Miami, and he was actually there after the game.
Yep.
So I talked to him a little bit, was talking about Harbaugh, and he actually liked Harbaugh. He was saying some stuff about him. I don't think he liked being jerked around as far as pulled in and out of the games and stuff. He's a big dude. Like, I was looking up to him. He's a solid 6'5" and a half.
Yeah.
And he also is like a thicker dude. Like, he's a big dude. He's not going to run. When I go back and look at it, Chip Kelly's offense had guys that were dual threats. Although with Nick Foles, he did have a lot of success in the NFL, but Foles is sneaky athletic.
Right.
Like, he can run a little bit. I think it'll be interesting to see if Chip Kelly can make that adjustment and create an offense without having a quarterback who runs the ball.
Well, he's supposed to be this offensive genius, right? Like,
yes,
he's an offensive guru. So if he better, because that, like, everybody knows, like, when you get exactly what you want in your coach, you get exactly the pieces you want, like, every coach can work in under that scenario.
Right.
Because everyone has a game plan of what they want to do, their philosophy, and, you know, it's going to go like this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So if you give them the letters that plug in accordingly, everybody's happy. The true test of a coach is when things don't go well and you don't get the exact pieces you want.
Right.
And now you've got to come up with something on the fly. And so this will be, we'll see if he's an offensive guru.
Yes. The best coaches in any sport maximize the talent they're working with.
Right.
And they figure out how those guys' skill sets best fit.
Is it guru or guru?
Because I say guru.
I usually say guru, and I have no idea why I just said guru.
like
twice.
It's a thing. I like where you did that a little back in there. So there's also been a lot of quarterbacks name starts, which I'm relieved because I'm like, thank goodness they're not trying to play coy, and play this game where they're putting guys in and out. USC,
mm-hmm,
historic powerhouse of college football. You just had Sam Darnold. You've had a long history of Heisman Trophy winners, Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, Mark Sanchez. Illustrious group of quarterbacks. Seeing a true freshman,
yeah,
JT Daniels, just a puppy. He's a baby out there. Gets the nod from Clay Helton. I've been following the story for the last month because I think they're a program that people are sleeping on. Might be a hint of my playoff picks. I used to get really worried if you had a true freshman. I was like, oh, that's a bad sign. Like, if you have a true freshman, like, right, that means you have nobody. I don't feel that way anymore. I think kids are more ready to play than they ever have been. In high school, they're running schemes that are very similar to what you're doing in college. Guys are playing 7-on-7 tournaments around the country. They're, yep, traveling. They're playing on national TV in high school.
Yeah.
So the moment doesn't really overwhelm them like it might have 10 or 15 years ago. And I think JT Daniels is one of those guys that's going to be able to come in and he's going to be able – there's going to be freshman mistakes, but there are first-year starter mistakes for guys who have never played.
For sure.
And I, from everything I've seen from him, I've heard him carry himself, he feels like he's ready for that moment.
He's was he one of these, like, top 11, like, whatever that quarterback thing is for?
Not 100% sure if he was elite 11, but I think he was a well-recruited
guy. He was
guy
in that. All right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's something to be said for playing on stages – that prepare you for the next, you know, your next step, right? So for instance, my situation, I have this debate with people all the time about sending your kid to a smaller school like FIU versus a bigger school like, I don't know, let's say University of Miami. And I always can say, like, FIU was great for me and it prepared me, and gave me the platform to show my wares. But I really struggled in the NBA when I first got there with the size of the arenas, the amount of people that were watching me play. Cause quite frankly, I just didn't play in front of that many people in college. So to your point, like, some of these guys that are used to in football being on these huge stages and performing, you know, in these national branded tournaments and stuff like that, they've already lived that, you know, opening day, so to speak, feeling like they played on these stages. And so, you know, couple that with now they get on campus so much earlier. You know, these guys basically, yes, have a whole they got a year's worth of experience by the time they're rolled out there for the first game. I agree that they're way more ready. Plus, I've said this before, like, these kids train now, basketball, football, they're training, like, they have personal guys since they're like 12, 13, 11 years old now. So they've been prepping for this.
Which I kind of love and I hate, because I like the fact that you're seeing true freshmen be able to come and make an impact. But then I also wonder, like, how well-rounded are they? Because I like being able to play multiple sports. And I think guys are better equipped to handle just everything if they've played other. Like, athletically, I think it helps you to be a basketball player if you're playing quarterback. And it helps you to be
100%.
A basketball player and all those other
stuff. I debated this with a friend of mine who coaches basketball in her like chat section the other day on Instagram. And it was about like, do you let kids play multiple sports or do they need to specify early? And, you know, I'm firmly in the camp of you play whatever until whenever. And then the question was, well, when do you stop? And I was like, well, when a coach finally comes up and tells you there's a conflict, that's a deal breaker for them as a coach.
Right.
Then maybe you have to pick. But if no coach ever comes to you with that, why pick if
See,
you love them
what
both?
I hate, though, because I think more and more coaches are giving you that pressure.
Yeah.
Saying, I need your guy to come play with our team in the summer on
2007.
He's got to pass up on AAU basketball or whatever other sport you might be playing. And I hate that. And I think it's selfish on behalf of those coaches because they want to have good teams and they think that's what's best. But it scares me that guys just don't get that opportunity to have that well-rounded atmosphere.
I
think you'll burn out. Like, especially, I remember going out to my first football practice. I didn't start playing until my junior year of high school.
Right.
The first time I ever played. And we went out to our first two-a-days. And I remember guys just being out there like, this is awful. You're going to hate this part of football. And I and everybody did. You hate that. And
right.
I'm like, what are guys doing if they're doing this 365 days a year? Like, they're going to burn out at some point.
Yeah. Look, not only the burnout, but when I've talked to like NBA people or
they like
to,
guys
they
that
want guys that have played multiple sports, they look for that. Like it's part of what they're addressing when they're looking to draft you. Number one, can he do other things? Like what are his interests? Has he played multiple sports? So like you can't get me off of the stance of play whatever you can play until you got to stop playing.
You too. All right. We got to break down some NFL action. Week 4, the worst product the NFL has ever put out there. Week 4 of the preseason. I think it's time it's got to change. But we actually get to talk some regular season football. We're going to do that. Some huge storylines coming up next on Off the Bench. So this NFL preseason has been, in my opinion, the worst product the NFL has ever put out in the history of the league. It's been trash.
You've been calling for it, though. Like, you're the architect of this.
I think so.
You don't want anybody to play.
Exactly.
You want nobody. You have architected the worst product that the NFL has ever put out there.
Fans, because I think we're on the precipice of change. Because I think even the owners are like, all right, we can't keep ripping off our fans and selling. Because if you're a team last night, or if you're a fan, if you're a season ticket holder, and you had to pay for 2 preseason games, and you went to a game last night, and you watched teams roll out dudes who have no business being on an NFL field, because that's what they're doing. They're rolling out guys. The Jaguars had a list of 34 players who were not going to play, and it was basically all their starters. You're seeing all backups, all guys that are going to get cut today. Like, they're going to be gone from the team. I'd be kind of ticked off too, but I think because of the safety issues, I think because there's been so much conversation about how bad it's been, that the NFL is actually going to consider changing something, and I think that will be a good thing. I always will think the NFL preseason is not as, I mean, obviously it's not as good. And it's a bad product. It does serve a purpose, but they can get that purpose done in practice and in scrimmages.
Why not just change the price?
Like, Just cut it in half. Do they do flex pricing?
Do they do flex pricing in the NFL?
I don't think so. I think if you buy the season ticket package, you got to buy your 8 home games and your 2 preseason games. You're right.
That's stupid. The NBA does flex pricing now. So, like, if LeBron's coming to town, that ticket's going to be way more expensive than if, like, the Sacramento Kings are coming to town. So
You know where the flex pricing happens in the NFL? It's on StubHub or whatever other site you get them on. They're selling for like $5 a ticket that's normally $100 because nobody can give them away. You can't even give away your preseason tickets in the NFL.
I'm with you. That's on the person who bought the tickets because I ain't buying no damn preseason tickets.
Right. So as bad as it is, let's break it down. That's what we'll do now. So we had Baker Mayfield. He was okay in his final preseason game. He's 57% completion, 2 touchdowns, interception on the entirety of the preseason. Last night he was 9-16, 138 yards.
Yeah.
I think he's been okay. I think we've gotten what we've expected.
He didn't knock anybody's socks off, but he didn't show you that you whiffed on a pick either.
Right.
And he's healthy, so that's good.
Here's my point. Nobody will remember what anybody did in the preseason. As bad as it was, like, as much as we're all with Josh Allen, it was like, oh, that was awful. Like, he looked awful. No one's going to remember that. They're going to remember what does he do in the regular season. RG3 doesn't play in their finale with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson had a rushing touchdown, which just continues to light up people with his legs. The fact that RG3 didn't play makes me a little bit concerned for your boy, because I was in that situation. When they don't play you, it means one of two things. They don't, well, it really means one thing. They don't want you to get hurt. Correct. Because they're going to move on from you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it's either because they're going to cut you or they're going to trade you.
Right.
And a lot of times it's, is there a market for you? And they'll make those calls. And if a team takes them, they'll trade them. And if not, they might cut them and move on, because the trend nowadays is to carry two quarterbacks. And I think it'd be, I think the Ravens would be smart to carry three.
Right.
Because Flacco's been hurt a lot recently. Lamar Jackson's style of play, the way they've been using him, who knows if that can last. And RG3, I think, would be a good sounding board for him, and it's going to be pretty cheap at league minimum for a veteran.
Yeah, I would say that this is the situation that it would be behoove you to keep three quarterbacks, right, for the reasons that you just articulated. Plus, Lamar, whether that's a sustainable style of play or not, I don't think that in a city like Baltimore, who they're always looking to win, right? That's one of those franchises that they're always there trying to win. He's not ready to do that for you yet. Like, and RG3 has had success at the NFL level, whether he can stay healthy or not. And he looked good in the preseason. Yep. So it makes all the sense in the world for them to keep three there. But I agree with you. If they don't play you, like, you got to figure out the reason why.
Yeah, exactly. That's a bad spot to be in. I cannot wait to see what Lamar Jackson does this year. I've been high on him, but I'm kind of nervous, because I'm like, at times I watch him throw, I'm like, he's not ready. But then you see what he does with his legs, and you're like, they've got to use him somehow. And you saw that exact situation play out, because I think they are going to put him in like they did last night. And he was on the field anyway. He drove his team down the field, but it was a little kind of play action bootleg when he came around the outside. And the defenders hesitated for a split second, and with his speed, he just waltzed into the end zone. And he has jets. Like, he literally has jets that he turns on, and NFL defenders can't catch him.
So I said a week and a half, 2 weeks ago maybe, that I didn't think he had, like, the Michael Vick, like.
Got it. I'm telling you.
I may have made a mistake. I may be mistaken. Yeah.
Flat out fly.
Yeah.
Now, on the preseason, I was worried about him because he didn't complete 50% of his balls through three games. Got it up to 50% on the dot. So I'm like, yes, he did it. Obviously, that's not going to be good enough for the NFL level. He's got to get that up closer to 60%. But he's made pretty good decisions. Three touchdowns against only one interception. Hasn't made, like, the boneheaded interception throws. Most of his inaccuracy issues, I think, are just from a comfort level of knowing the system. Like, once he gets more confidence and knowing to go where the football, I think he'll set his feet and he'll just be more accurate.
Right.
It's going to come from a mental aspect. And I think he'll just start to smooth out over time, but you're always going to have that escapability, which is going to terrify defensive coordinators. So I can't wait to watch and see how the Ravens use him. Jalen Ramsey. My man from Florida State.
I like Jalen Ramsey.
I love him.
I get down with Jalen. Yeah.
So he has been just on a tear. And I say good for him. Had the GQ article where he just threw every quarterback basically in the NFL under the bus. He just comes out with a piece with ESPN, throws, you know, Jimbo Fisher under the bus. Mina Kimes said, I've never met him. And Jalen Ramsey said, well, you didn't miss anything. Like, just felt like just backhanded stuff left and right. I pretty much agreed. Even his quarterback ratings, I was like, he's not that far off.
Right.
Now, he could have said it a little bit more diplomatically, but he's going to talk the way he talks. He's just going to call it like it is. Said that Gronk, your boy Gronk.
Yeah.
Now, we used to have a thing on the podcast only where you could say it. Now, we don't want to say that on CBS Sports
HQ. I've been censored.
But he said Gronk is overrated. Your thoughts. His quote was, I don't think Gronk's good. Let me say, I don't think Gronk is as great as people think he is. He walked it back a little bit.
Okay.
Anytime Gronk has been matched up with a corner, he's had a very bad game, and that corner has had a very good game.
Okay. So I think he is maybe right and wrong. Like, I think Gronk is really good. Could he be overrated a little bit, and could corners get the better of Gronk, and does he do a lot of his damage, like, when he's in the slot? Like, probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't break down the film like that.
Right.
But he's not a wide receiver. He's a tight end.
Right.
So, like, he's not supposed to be matched up outside. So I think he's wrong and right. Like, could be a little overrated. My favorite tight end is Travis Kelce. I think he's a gangster. Like, he's my favorite right now. Like, pass catching threat in the NFL. Gronk is the dude that's big, lumbering. Like, if you need to get it to somebody down the, like, he's that dude. Travis Kelce's the dude who runs the routes, gets open. Like, he looks more like a receiver than Gronk to me, but I'm not like
no, he does. You are spot on. Yeah. When I watch Gronk run, I'm like, how does he get the production he does? Like, how does he have a 1,000-yard season? Because he's got the big arm brace, he's got knee pads on there. And the last play of the Super Bowl, when they tried to run a Hail Mary, and I'm watching Gronk run down the field, he was literally like limping and running, and he looked like he would run a 5.54.
Right.
And he might not run a great 40, but the thing is, if you just body up with anybody, and even corners,
yeah,
he's got these mitts where he just sucks in the ball. And the thing is, Brady's accuracy, he can put it right on a spot with Gronk. So I'm with you. I think the whole idea of having an athletic tight end or a receiving tight end is to get him in mismatches. And if he's playing against bigger physical corners like Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey's a big dude.
Right.
It's not going to be a good matchup for him. So I think he's kind of right on that one. But keep giving us those quotes, Jalen. Like,
yeah,
keep
Jalen's
showing that personality
gold.
Because there's a lot of quarterback or a lot of defensive backs who have made a fortune because they talked a lot, but more importantly, because they backed it up.
Yeah.
To this point in his career, he's backed it up. So keep doing you, Jalen, and you'll be fine. All right, so the preseason wasn't exactly pretty, but we did get to watch some fascinating storylines develop on NFL Game Pass. If you had NFL Game Pass, you got to watch every out-of-market preseason game live. We saw number one pick Baker Mayfield showcase his skills. We saw Sam Darnold earn the Jets' starting job. But we also saw Josh Allen struggle in his Week 3 start. And we also saw dreams come true in Week 4 as guys fought for roster spots. As I go back to prep for the season, I'm replaying games after they aired. Whoever I want to evaluate, I use NFL Game Pass, even though I'm out of market, to go back and watch any game I want. We saw a glimpse of Saquon Barkley, we witnessed John Gruden's return to Oakland, and we even got a chance to see a Super Bowl rematch, all with NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2018 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up now at NFL.com/off the bench. Game on. All right, let's get over to Hannah because we have our 5-star Friday, baby.
No.
Hey, what do we got?
This is the best part of our Friday traditions. You know how it works. If you leave a 5-star review on iTunes, you can ask any question in your review, and we have to answer it. So our first one is from Jared Wirtz. He said, who wins in a 40-yard dash, Danny or Raja?
Did you ever in your life run a 40-yard dash?
No.
What do they use for basketball? Like
shuttles.
Combine? Shuttles. And
yeah.
Stuff, 'cause that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Now, are we talking today? Are we talking prime? My prime, best one that I ever ran, 4.78, which is kind of surprising. I think people don't believe me. It was at the it was at our pro day workout in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Scouts didn't believe me. They had me run it again.
Yeah.
I ran a 4.82 the second time.
I think that, and I have no, I think I would have ran like a 4.540.
Woo! Smoking!
I do.
I would actually
really believe it.
I would say you all day long.
I always wanted to run the 40, like when I was in prime shape, but I never really had a, I should have done it down on the turf at University of Miami with those guys sometimes when I was down there. But I think I could have, I wasn't like,
do NBA dudes or basketball, do they ever race?
Yeah.
They
put races, sure.
So what would they do? Like a down and back?
Or just one end to the other. Like, just straight out speed.
Go.
Yep.
Because NFL dudes always trying to race. And even college, always. When I was at Burt Reynolds Hall, one of the craziest scenes I'd ever seen. I think I might have told you this story. My, like,
parking lot? Year.
Yes. Yeah. We're out there and we had 2-a-days. Everybody's exhausted. I was exhausted. We got there like 10 o'clock. I'm hearing all this noise outside. Dudes are racing in the street. Fantastic. Shut it down. Like, stop traffic. And they're having 40s to see who the fastest dude on the team was. All right. Sorry, Hannah. We went off on a tangent.
No, I was going to say, Danny, I was getting word that you had negative 127 rushing yards.
No, you were right. We did talk about that earlier. Look, I had track speed, not football speed.
All right, our next question. This is from Ryan Streger. He said, Raja, what's the backstory on how banana cakes became a part of your vocab? This is a question the people really want to know.
they want the answer for banana cakes, huh? It's pretty simple. I've always said bananas, like that's bananas, but my buddy Gene Durkak up in New Jersey, I think it was his daughter Taylor, like came home and was saying banana cakes because that's what the kids were saying like in school. And he said it to me one day and I was like,
kind of works.
Yeah, it tops my banana, so I'll go with banana cake. So I've been saying it ever since.
I love it. Right. It's a great one.
And it just stuck?
It just stuck. Yeah, it was like 7 years ago now, six or seven years ago.
I
was like,
it banana really cake. Is more effective than just bananas.
Just bananas, right?
Yeah. Like, this is hard-hitting journalism. I have so many questions. All right, another one from BVT. He said, who was more likely to recognize a pro athlete in their sport, Danny in a room full of NFL rookies or Raja in a room full of NBA rookies?
Oh, this is hands down, Raja. It's not even close because I've been out a lot longer than you have, and I didn't have as much success as you did.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say with you, hands down.
No. Who was more likely to recognize a pro athlete?
Like, so if you were, wait, if there was like,
if they would recognize you or me?
No, like if I was in a room full of NFL rookies.
Would you know any of those guys?
No, I would know them. None of them would know me. They'd be like, who the heck is Danny?
I think they recognize you because you do, like, you're on, like, you've been on
TV business.
Yeah, I think you probably get recognized.
Maybe. I don't know. I still think guys would at least, but they might know me as only a broadcaster. Be like, oh, I didn't even know this guy played. that would probably be it. Like, who's this old dude talking to us? All right. We got this huge something to get to. Hannah, our picks.
Our
picks.
I'm like, what do we got?
People need to make some money off of us if they fade us. I don't know.
Yes. Raja and Danny move the line with their week one picks coming up next. Stay with us. You're watching Off the Bench.
All right, welcome back to Off the Bench. Let's do some college football. It is a monster weekend, and it's one of the best parts about this college football playoff era is this is when everybody plays their huge matchups. You try to impress. If you lose the game, hopefully it doesn't cost you very much.
Right.
And you can still kind of impress the committee by having a strong non-conference schedule. All right, the best game of the weekend, I think there are two that really vie for it, and sadly it's not our alma maters or our teams that we root for. Typical Haynes. Typical Haynes fan.
Yeah.
All right. Michigan, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
We get all of our numbers from Westgate.
Right.
That's what we're going to use here.
Okay.
I'm a little bit upset about it because I've seen some other numbers flying around there. It is a pick'em. Michigan going into South Bend. Who do you like?
I like Notre Dame. Michigan, like Harbaugh's, like I think he's overrated. Come on, bro. He's 8-7 his last 15 games at Michigan, bro.
Yeah. Like, he's not had an impressive run.
Yeah, I'm going to take Notre Dame just because they're at Notre Dame, and I don't know that who's the dude he's got, from Shea Patterson.
Ole Miss,
his numbers are not fantastic against, like, top tier opponents.
Yep.
Like, he gets a lot of what he got off of, like, lower level comp. So for that reason, at Notre Dame, in South Bend, I'm going with Notre Dame.
So I was going to pick Notre Dame. And then I talked to our colleague here at CBS Sports HQ, Brady Quinn.
Okay.
And he told me that he doesn't think Notre Dame has the athletes to stack up.
Really?
With Michigan. Cause I was all over Notre Dame. Home.
Yeah.
Team, like, go with them. I also heard Brian Kelly talking about maybe playing two quarterbacks. You know how I feel.
I was going to say, cause Brandon Wimbush looked good last year. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But he's also talking about playing Ian Book. Now that could be, you know, subterfuge.
Yeah.
Kind of like play a little bit. Michigan's got to break out for Harbaugh at some time. I think this is the year. I love their defense. I love Don Brown. I think Michigan gets it done. So
there you
go. Go Michigan.
All right.
Next game up. Monday night.
Yeah.
The Willie Taggart era launches.
Begins.
With some war daddies, as he likes to call them, against Virginia Tech, a tricky opponent.
Yeah.
Florida State is a touchdown favorite.
I'm taking Virginia Tech. I'll take FSU to win the game.
Yep.
But I'm going to take Virginia Tech. How would I phrase that? Is Virginia Tech Virginia covers?
Cover,
to
yeah.
Cover, yeah. Virginia Tech covers. Bud Foster, that defense typically is very stout. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know much about their offense, admittedly. But they're like Ricky Francois coming back in the mix. I'm going to take them to cover.
They have, Virginia Tech has had a nightmare offseason. They have a bunch of guys they had to kick off the team or suspend.
Right.
If a pretty good quarterback, FSU goes with DeAndre Francois. I wish I could get this at 7.5. Like, that would be my official advice. Like, if you were going to take Virginia Tech, I would say 7.5. Or either, I wish there was a hook on this game. I'm going to ride with you on this one. I think Florida State wins.
Mm-hmm.
Just the first game, I think there's going to be some nerves in Tallahassee. I think it could be a little bit sluggish, you know, just kind of figuring out that offense. First time they've really rolled it out. I'm going to say Florida State wins, but they don't cover. So I'm going to go with you. So both of us on Virginia Tech plus 7. Auburn, Washington, playing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
A neutral site game for the Washington Huskies. Having to go all the way. It's only about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Auburn. Who do you like in this one?
I'm taking Auburn. It's a home game. It's a home game. You're coming across the country if you're Washington. Now, granted, Pac-12 needs a, they need this, right? Like, if they don't.
Washington is carrying the entire, like, reputation of the Pac-12 on their line because they were garbage last year, 1-8 in the bowl season to finish. They've been totally trashed by the national media saying they're awful. I don't think the Pac-12 is as bad, but I do think this game, perception-wise, matters.
Yep.
But I'm rolling with Auburn.
Yeah, I'm taking Auburn.
Auburn,
I like
it is a home team there. Two, I like that number. I wish I could get a little bit better. I wish it was closer to one. But I'm going to say Auburn with Jarrett Stidham.
The only thing
Jarrett
is Stidham like
set up for a monster year.
He's a beast. But their offense usually starts off relatively slow though. They're like, if I'm not mistaken, like they start, like they're kind of like a snowball rolling downhill. It takes them a minute to build up momentum.
Yeah, it wasn't
and stuff
that long
like
ago.
That.
Like we've had Gus Malzahn on the hot seat. Like if a call goes one way or another,
yeah.
He's fired in week 3.
They lose Kerryon Johnson too.
Yeah. They've got.
I'm taking Auburn,
but I think their system. You sure?
I'm taking.
I like
Auburn.
Your.
Yeah, no, I was having a rip.
We're sleeping a little bit on the fact that Chris Peterson is one of the best coaches out there as far as prepping teams. He's had all offseason to think about this Auburn offense, which is really tricky to stop. But I just feel like it's a home game, and I think Auburn's going to. It's a plug and play offense. Mm-hmm. I know Kerryon Johnson was effective. I think they're going to do running back by committee somewhat, but I think they'll figure it out. And I think Stidham's going to have a big year for them. So we're both on Auburn minus two. All right, LSU, Miami, Monday night, Labor Day, the only game in town.
This one,
I'm taking the Canes all day long.
I'm taking the Canes, but I got to be honest. I'm worried about that Miami O-line against what I know. LSU always has some big defensive linemen that can really get after you athletic. And that's a concern for me. Rozier didn't look good towards the end of the season. Like he sputtered down the stretch, but I'm still taking Miami.
I'm not worried at all about Miami. Joe Burrow's transfer from Ohio State taking over for LSU. I don't think people understand how hard it is to pick up an offense. Like people just assume everybody's going to be Russell Wilson and they're going to step in and lead a team. It's tough to pick it up. Ed Ogeron, I think, is in a little bit of trouble this year. I'm going to put that lightly. And I think it could get off to a rough start. Miami's got to play better than they did those last three games. I think there's some momentum with the Hurricanes. And I think Mark Richt gets off to a strong start. Because if they don't, I'm going to be trashing them here on Tuesday. Not covering for us. I'm going to take Miami minus 3.5 as well.
All right.
Let's do some socially relevant. Get Hannah back in here because there's some pretty good stuff going around.
All right, I'm starting off with some bad news first, then I get to some good news for you guys. So we start with a bit of a heartwarming moment. This went down on Twitter. So as we know, talks between the Raiders and linebacker Khalil Mack are at a standstill. Reports are saying that the Raiders want at least two first-round picks, which is leaving teams hesitant to deal. Well, yesterday, someone posted a throwback video of Mack facing off against the Dolphins, and Mack responded by saying, quote, "I miss it." Then, okay, ready, guys. Grab your tissues. Derek Carr responded saying, "I miss you." Do you guys think these guys get reunited or what?
I don't. I don't think this is contentious as it gets. I love it, though, the fact that his QB, somebody's at least telling him he's wanted because John Gruden isn't. Like, he's not even talking to him. Khalil Mack is as disgruntled as they come. I don't think this is going to get resolved.
I don't either, man. I've been saying this from the jump. The fact that that cat never, like, that they haven't spoken is, like, it's unheard of. Like, it's unprecedented that what's taking place with one of the best defensive players in the game right now. I feel you, Derek Carr. Everybody out there should miss him, but I don't think you're getting him back anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either.
All right, now it's time for the good story. So you guys talked about Jalen Ramsey and his trash talking earlier in the show, but you left out what I think is the best part. So he suggested that he could play another professional sport if he really wanted to. It sounds a lot like the conversations you guys have. It was said that if he trains for 6 months, he says that he could probably crack the NHL. So, Danny, this actually really reminds me of you because if I remember correctly, you said I could easily be a water polo Olympian.
Right? I got a good arm. Yeah, totally. I could do it. Maybe a year, maybe 6 months is a little bit optimistic. Here's the thing. I like it, except does he know how to skate? Does he know how to ice skate?
Yeah,
like I would pick, if he said baseball, if he said basketball, I might believe him. But does he even know how to ice skate? He's not from Minnesota. He's from Tennessee.
You're wrong, Jalen. You're just wrong, brother. Like, and I like you, but you're mistaken on that one. Ice skating is too hard of a thing. Hitting that puck with the stick while you're ice skating, that's too unnatural if skating doesn't come natural to you. So 6 months isn't enough time. Now, if he told me he was going to go out there and be like a fullback, or a sweeper, like in a soccer game or something like that, where it's more physical and you just got to kick the ball away from him, no doubt that he could do it.
Yeah. For sure. Hockey, not buying it.
Well, that's all for Socially Relevant. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Kennell and Bell. Coming up after the break, Danny and Raja break down today's leftovers, plus some rapid-fire college football previews. Stay with us. You're watching Off the Bench.
I like the animation. Raja loves it. Puts it in the mood. It's Friday. So what do we miss? Venus, Serena square off today, U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Serena leads the all-time series, 17-12. It's the earliest meeting they've had in a tournament since the 1998 Australian Open. Is there any chance Venus beats Serena? No chance?
No chance.
Do you think there was any chance early in their career that their father dictated who would win?
I had some conspiracy theories about that also.
Early. She was the older one who came on the stage first. And I used to be like, I wonder if he's going to let Serena like make a name for herself.
Or Richard always said, though, he was pretty... He used to say, if you think she's good, wait till you see her little sister.
Yes.
And I was always like, bro, you gotta be kidding me because Venus is, no one can be better than that. But he always maintained that. So I think, No, I think that just played itself out. He always knew that Little Sis was like probably going to be Big Sis one day.
Did you see the commercial? I think we talked about it. Did you see the commercial with Richard and Serena?
With the old video?
Yeah. When they're out like in the park in Compton and he's training her. He's saying, picture yourself in the U.S. Open. Yeah. I would like teared up in that one. Yep. I'm a sap for stuff like that. All right. We did our picks for the weekend, but let's just do a little run through of some of the other games that are going on. FAU at Oklahoma. I think a little trendy pick for people that like FAU, think Lane Kiffin's going to go in there, keep that game close. I like Lane. I like FAU, but I think Oklahoma's probably going to take them to the woodshed and win this game pretty easily. I would love to see a close game or an upset for Lane, like for the program, but I think in the end, Oklahoma just has too much talent. They're taking a 21-point favorite.
Taking them Boca boys, baby. The Lane train and them Owls. Yeah, right. I'll take them not to win, but like to cover. Yeah,
right. I would like to see that. Louisville, Alabama.
Ooh.
Playing in Orlando. I didn't even realize that game was in Orlando. Alabama's a 24.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see everybody and their brother is watching to see if it's going to be Tua or Jalen. Nick Saban said both players earned the right to play. Oh. I think it actually could be a pretty good situation for Jalen Hurts. I think what he's going to do is he's going to play him in four games, and he's still going to be able to redshirt, so he won't use a year of eligibility. I think, and that could be a situation that's good for everybody.
That could be,
He only plays him if he needs him, like against Auburn. You know, if he needs him, he can play him in those four games. So you kind of keep him in his back pocket.
Yeah.
And I think this could be one of those games, not that he needs him, but he kind of appeases Jalen Hurts, gets him up to speed, and it puts a little bit of pressure on Tua to separate himself. As much as I like Tua, I'm a little bit nervous because the love and adoration seems like it's almost unsustainable, unachievable.
You're right.
He's a 4-1 Heisman favorite, and he's only played a half
of football. You've seen a half of football from the dude.
I think he's going to be good, but there's way too much guaranteed value. Like, oh, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the superstar. It makes me a little bit nervous for Tua, but not in this game, because I think Louisville is going to be – they've got to replace Lamar Jackson, who we talked an awful lot about.
Sure.
And Bobby Petrino is a good offensive mind, but I think they're going to be overwhelmed in that game. Right here, not on CBS Sports HQ, but on CBS.
Yeah.
CBS, you can watch West Virginia, Tennessee. Our boy, Coca. Coca, who do you like in this game? You couldn't tell. That's his school where he went, West Virginia. They're a 9.5-point favorite against Tennessee. There's a lot of Will Grier hype coming in. He's one of the favorites for the Heisman.
I like his style.
I do too.
Yeah.
Dana Holgerson's a great offensive mind. Jeremy Pruitt taking over for Tennessee. I think it could be a rough year for him. I mean, this program is really in a tough spot. I think it could be. I think West Virginia will win, but I think they might win by a touchdown.
Really?
I think it could be. Actually, you know what? Change that. I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I think it could just be a sloppy, ugly game. I don't think Tennessee is going to score very many points at all. And I think Tennessee's defense could at least get some hits on Will Grier and kind of slow down that offense. So I'm not going to touch the – I'm going to touch the over on. I'm going to take the under in that game.
I got West Virginia to cover that.
All right.
Yeah, I think Will Grier's going to put up some numbers.
Texas, Sam Ellinger is the quarterback. They had a little bit of a quarterback competition between him. Tom Herman, I think, went with the right guy. They're going to Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland obviously has a really tough spot that they're in. They lost one of their teammates, you know, not that long ago. Their coach is, you know, up in the air, the future there. I think this one could be an interesting game, but I think Texas is going to have a win that has people kind of talking about Texas. Every time we do that, is Texas back? Are they back on the scene? And I think this is going to be one of those games where I think they're going to go into College Park, and I think they're going to beat them.
That's a number for me, not knowing either team, that's kind of tough because that's a lot of points on the road, I guess, right? Wouldn't it be 13? Because even Texas isn't like a top, like top
20. Home dog here is actually a pretty smart play. And there's probably a lot of dumb money that went in on Texas thinking all those things that I did. Like, and Maryland went into Austin last year and beat them, kind of propelled Maryland to a pretty decent season.
But because of the DJ Durkin thing, I'm going to go with you and take Texas.
Yeah.
Take Texas. I think that's a big thing for a
program. Last one. I think we both like Florida State and Miami. Which one are you more nervous about? Like, which one do you think there'd be a greater chance of upset? I think it's Miami, and it's not close.
I think it's Miami too.
But I think they both win.
I think they both win too. But I agree with you. I think it's Miami, and I'm not gonna say that I'm scared, but I'm cautious. I'm cautiously optimistic.
It's a good anxiety, right?
Yes, it is. Right. I have butterflies.
Saved the best for last because we have our playoff predictions.
Yeah.
So, would you like to go?
I don't even remember mine.
Playoff predictions. I'll give them to you. I think I remember yours.
All right.
I hate playoff predictions because I hate going chalk. I just don't like it.
Yeah,
I'm too much of a contrarian. You, I think, went a lot of chalk.
I went chalky.
Right?
Yeah, I was pretty
chalky.
Remember
who you had?
Yeah, I did. I had
Bama. We had our whole crew up here. We had our whole crew in here put up our picks.
Yes.
I actually had a pretty good little mix of picks.
Yes, I went there it is, right? Yep. So I had Bama, Clemson. I took Penn State. I think James Franklin and McSorley get it figured out there. Like, I think Ohio State and all of that. And then Oklahoma. I like Kyler Murray and the crew.
I like your – so all of these picks, like, across the board, Coca kind of – he went straight chalk except for – well, he's got Washington there. Debo, our boy Debo, there was no way he was touching Penn State. I had Penn State in my first one, and then I kind of changed my mind because I talked to Debo, who's like doom and gloom. And then Mikey with Wisconsin, giving some love to the overlooked Badgers who always, you know, seem to be overlooked. Maybe it is their year. Also throwing in Auburn, who I like. Now, I like Mikey went Alabama and Auburn. I actually think there's a pretty good chance that could happen the way their schedules play out. And we've seen the committee not afraid to put in, you know, two teams from the SEC. I think that could happen. I think there's a pretty good chance you could see two teams from the Big Ten mm-hmm. get in the final playoff, but I couldn't do it on my own. I went Clemson.
Yep.
Now, this has a caveat. I'm assuming this is Trevor Lawrence playing quarterback. Like, okay. I think Kelly Bryant starts the season, but at some point, if the transition is made, I think that's what propels Clemson to the next.
I don't think you get to do that when you make picks. I don't think you get to make your picks and throw a caveat in there.
Why not?
Like, you scrap this if Kelly Lawrence is playing quarterback.
I think Auburn's going to have a big year with Jarrett Stidham. Sneaky Heisman pick. You can actually find some pretty good value there. The Ohio State pick. I think all of this distraction could possibly galvanize a team.
Yeah, it happens.
And I don't think it's going to impact them that much not having Urban Meyer those first 3 weeks. You got to remember, he also is able to participate in practice after the first week. He's still going to game plan.
Yes.
They got a ton of offensive coaches and head coaches on that staff where I don't think it impacts them too much.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Who do you have winning it all?
I take Bama. I'm going Pepsi.
It's hard not to.
Coke.
Right. Right.
Good year.
It's
Nike.
Crazy how it looks like the NBA where it's all, you know, it used to be the Cavs and Warriors. They're going to square off.
Yeah.
Probably be Clemson, Bama.
You think we get three? You think Clemson, Bama three?
Probably.
Yeah.
Although I don't have them in mind. I think we're going to see Clemson, Auburn, and I think Clemson gets it done with Trevor Lawrence. Don't
Trevor Lawrence. There's no caveats. You can't caveat.